Hey friends, and welcome back to The Sandwich, hosted by me, Amanda Muse. It's been a minute. In fact, I kind of abandoned ship this week on recording a podcast, and today it's going to be a solo chat with yours truly about some of the pressures that a lot of us are feeling right now, the expectations, and just like a temperature check on coping. How are we all doing? That kind of conversation. Okay? Let's get into it. I've got five things, you know, five areas that I want to talk to you guys about today. I want to touch on a little bit about parenting, a little bit about some physical symptoms of this pandemic, where we're at, the financial burden, some of the issues that are coming up around family and friendship type of relationships, and then the whole concept of productivity during these uncertain times. To set it up, I'm sitting in my son's room. It's really nice and quiet and cool. I love my office, but in the summer months, it's just a touch hot in that room because it sits above a garage, you know? And I'm looking out the window at the beautiful green space that we have access to in the yard. And if we want to just start off the top of this episode being grateful for something, that would be numero uno. I've never been so grateful to have space for my kids to be free when we are at home as much as we are right now. As I'm recording this, it is July. We're July. We're like nearing the end of July. I don't know how that snuck up on us so quickly, especially how quickly summer goes in Ontario. I'm feeling the sense of panic, like I have to live more and experience more out of this summer or something. It's like it's going super speed and super slow at the same time. When you are experiencing what feels like the same day on rotation, it feels weird, you know? And I know that a lot of you listening are in different phases, right? First of all, different parts of the world. So that's going to impact your lived experience. But also just different phases of this, you know, like, are you back to work? Are you experiencing somewhat of a normal existence right now? Is your partner back at work? You know, what are your kids up to? I know that in some places, summer camps are open. They look a little different, but they're available. I'm already seeing moms and dads on social start talking about back to school. I'm like, what? Because, you know, certain parts of the world go back a little sooner than others. That gives me hives just thinking about what school's going to look like in the fall. Goodness me. So when you are listening to this episode, you know, I don't know if it's even worth saying, but it goes without saying that what you're hearing is my lived experience as a woman in her 30s, living in Canada with two kids, with a husband who is unemployed at the moment because he's a pilot and planes aren't really going to many places as they used to. So airlines have just got their skeleton staff that they need, you know, and we are directly impacted by what's happening in the world. And hopefully I don't get too frustrated because there's some stuff I feel that's going on, you know, personally, that is so much easier to avoid than actually try to tackle. So it might slip out. You'll probably forgive me because I am but a mere mortal. So let's talk about parenting for a second. Parenting, pandemic parenting, working from home, it's a whole thing. You know, since this began and since we've been stuck at home and the journey we've taken up until this point, I feel like we're in a good place right now. The weather is accommodating where the kids can just be free in and out of the house as they choose. We've got one of those, what I thought was a really crappy pool, but now I think it's like worth its weight in gold. One of those pools you put together in the backyard, but it's like actually deep enough that I can swim in it and jump in and enjoy. So we've got one of those. We've got space. If you follow me on Instagram, as you know, there is space back there. And I feel like we've got a good system, you know? So I, being the primary worker right now, which P.S. blows my mind, that the woman who literally makes an income off of the internet is the one with the job. It's the strange, it's honestly very surreal. So I am the primary worker, so I plan my day around working. And it took a minute to kind of get this sorted, right? Like, we did not do this well at the beginning. But Dean is the one who is doing a lot of the, or not a lot, I would say all of the food preparation. So he handles all of the dinners. Breakfast is hit and miss. Sometimes the kids get their own. So usually he prepares lovely things. He's way better than me. He makes them like crepes and pancakes. I'm like, you want a bowl of cereal? Good. How about some toast if we're feeling fancy? So he's really great at that. He also has a natural ability and is good at it, unlike me. I mean, I'm good, but I'm not creative in the kitchen, you know? Anyway, so we've got like the food prep he's handled. So I do the Monday through Friday working. And then on the weekends, I tackle the laundry and the tidying and the bathrooms, that kind of stuff. So it works out. We still get on each other's nerves like crazy, but we all kind of have our jobs that we do. But when it comes to the parenting thing, I heard a podcast recently. Actually, it was such a good episode. I shared it on Instagram today. Today is Thursday as I'm recording this. And it's from, I want to tell you exactly what it is. It's from the podcast called Life Kit. And it was an episode that was speaking directly about screen time. And it's titled, you know, How to Work With, Not Against Screen Time. And I feel like screen time is one of these topics. It's like vaccinations. It's like breastfeeding. It's like circumcision. It's one of these things where we're so judgmental towards other parents about how they choose to navigate screen time. Honestly, I want to roll my eyes so heavy about this topic because if you were to look at my screen time, you'd think there's something wrong with me. I'm on my phone constantly. Granted, I give the excuse that it's for work, but there's a heck of a lot of time it's not for work. I'm just mindlessly scrolling. So I don't know. And I think I'm a pretty well-balanced human, so I'm pretty sure our kids will be fine. But that's neither here nor there. The point is, it really provides a toolkit, if you will, hence the name of the podcast, which is Life Kit. You know, it's this short and sweet. I'm talking like a 10-minute episode. You need to go listen to it after this. I'll link it below in the notes. But it gives you this guideline and almost this permission to like figure out how to make this work right now, because it is impossible to be wearing all the hats that we are wearing. You know, before school was out, we were teachers, we were working from home, we are therapists for our partners, potentially for ourselves, we're caregivers, we're house cleaners, let's be real, we do all of these things all the time anyway, but we usually as the parents have, and I'm not just speaking about moms here, this is applicable to any parent, you know, we usually have an ability to also step out of that role every now and then and get some relief, do some things for ourselves. But when you are on to the degree that we've been on for the length of time that we've been on, you're gonna feel an impact. Some of us are seeing it as weight gain. Some of us are seeing it as, you know, mental health disorders. I'm very careful not to just throw words around because obviously people are, this is a serious thing, having a mental health, you know, a mental illness. If you are on medication for it and you have it under control, that's one thing. But I feel like there's this category of people where they were coping okay when the world was floating normally. And then now that things are completely awry, it's very hard to figure this out. So just from experience, and I apologize if I'm all over the place, but you got yourself a solo chat. So it's kind of what you need to expect. But I used to experience some panic symptoms years ago, right? And all of a sudden, they're back. And it's like, well, that's not fun, you know? And now I got to figure out how to cope with that on top of everything else. So with all of that in mind, coming back to that podcast I was suggesting, they use the term calm parenting. And it was just kind of mentioned in there, not heavily focused on the particular episode. But what I gathered from that was like, there is so much uncertainty. And there's also all of this expectation we feel from other people on how we parent and how we choose to raise our children. And it's like one of these things where we're sort of forced to pause and make decisions that are good for our families, regardless of what the outside world thinks that we should be doing. So I'm going to put this out there. Make it judged hard. At this point, who cares? You know, it's working. So in our house, we go to bed late. We pretty much shut it down at 11. Everyone brushes their teeth and everyone's in bed by 11:30. That may seem insane to some households. And I was really mad about it for the first few weeks because I'm a big fan of everyone being asleep and me doing what I want in the evenings. My kids have always gone to bed a little later than the average kid, I think. We're just later people. I'm a night owl. I'm not an early riser. And to be fair, my kids have never been early risers. Like when they were little, they'd sleep in till 9:30, like in the bed with me because I co-slept forever. So it's not completely off base, right? But the kids go to bed late and we have a system and I get up about like 7:30, 7:45 and Dean's up a touch earlier. And the kids don't usually crawl out of bed till 9:30. Today was 10:30. So they're getting the appropriate amount of sleep, right? But it's just a different setup. And if I was to start posting online, which fair enough, I'm doing right now by having this conversation, but if I was to just be like, yeah, my kids go to bed at like about midnight and 11:30, I mean, I'd start getting side eye upon side eye from people. However, I keep coming back to this statement, which is like, things are completely out of whack. They aren't normal. Therefore, why would I expect my parenting to be normal right now? Dean and I are like having our needs being met as individuals, trying our best to connect as a couple. But really the focus right now is we're just trying to keep afloat and keep the kids feeling like there's a sense of normal. There's a sense of a normal pace of life right now. Get up, have breakfast, play in the yard, have some downtime with your iPad, maybe swim. We've recently added in taking in maybe a little adventure. You know, side note though, it makes me nervous. Dean and I are super cautious about wearing masks, hand sanitizer. You know, we went to a beach last week, but we made zero stops. We just went straight to the beach. We stayed away from everyone because it was pretty, you know, spaced out, wasn't totally crowded. And it was awesome. The kids have never been so excited in their whole life when we went to that beach. It was like change of scenery. It was fun. There was sand everywhere. Like it was honestly such a break from the routine, right? I know there's a lot of parents listening and I don't really have answers on how to do anything right because I don't think that there is a right way right now. I mean, to be fair, when is there ever really a right way to do anything? But I just, like I said, I keep coming back to that line. It's like, if things are completely out of whack, nothing is normal, why would parenting be normal? I think this is an opportunity to be a little relaxed on some things. Let's talk about just some physical symptoms because mom guilt, parenting guilt will manifest when we don't need that. So it's nice to find ways to kind of cope with that. But the reality is you may be feeling some physical symptoms. I know for me, I've been experiencing headaches a ton more. And just before I sat down to record this episode, I was just doing a quick Google search to see like what other people are talking about when it comes to the pressures right now of being home. And an article came up actually from this clinic in Cleveland, and they discovered that people who are more prone to headaches and migraines are actually seeing a big jump in more headaches and migraines than usual. And, you know, we know the usual symptoms are like weather, you know, the pressure, you know, that kind of stuff can impact headaches and things. But of course, prolonged amounts of stress and anxiety are going to naturally do the same thing. And then of course, you know, increased screen time, the stress of the unknown, all of this uncertainty, the fact that we're working from home, we're caring for our children at like alarming rates that we're not accustomed to. And then thank goodness for the weather, but we've had some really hot days too, and then some really stormy weather. So you're getting that like mixture. There's a lot of reasons why some painful symptoms might be coming up. I feel like I've had my period 1,200 times during this pandemic. Like what the heck? What's happening? I haven't, but it's like, ugh, I've never been so aware of what's happening, you know, and it's, you can't leave. And it's like this marker of time. It's just something else. So again, just being kind of easy on yourself when it comes to how you're feeling it and, you know, listening to your body. I am doing my best to move my body and be physical because for me, it's really important that I manage my mental health, and I manage my mental health by staying active. That really works for me. It helps me stay in a place where I feel creative. I feel like I've accomplished something for the day. I feel physically tired. That's something else. Like, you know, when you're sitting at your desk all day and you're not moving around and going for walks, like you go to bed at the end of the day, your mind might be tired, but your body can feel restless. So it's important for me to shed that energy. I don't always feel great though, even after working out hard, and having a really productive day in my office, I can still feel super anxious because at what point have we ever been exposed to this much stress for this long? Okay, granted, there's probably times in history where we have been, but in my life, I've never been exposed to this much stress for this long and not knowing when it's going to end. That is really something else. So, you know, and then I mentioned at the top there that there's been some anxiety symptoms that have come and creeped back into my world. And it's not as bad, but I do notice sometimes, like I was reading an article about how COVID-19 is having its another moment to shine because we've entered phase 3 of opening back up in Ontario, which means pubs and things are opened. And this like makes my brain ache because I'm just like, what are you, why would you go into an enclosed space like a bar? Anyway, I don't understand. That's neither here nor there though. But the point is like reading articles about how it's manifesting again, and then, you know, how there's like this small pocket of people who have had COVID-19 and how their symptoms just linger and linger. And it honestly gives me anxiety. Like it's so I notice, even as I'm saying this, I'm like having a hard time catching my breath. Lord, I notice like when I'm seeing that and I'm feeling like anxious, I get sweaty, I start not breathing deeply and my head starts to hurt. It's like, okay, pull back. Put the phone down, take a break. There's definitely been some positive moments, but something that's kind of amazing is how much it's made me in tune with my body. I'm just not as distracted. So if I notice that I'm feeling really overwhelmed by reading something or watching certain content, I just walk away from it. It's not good for me. It's going to be put down because, you know, as the primary earner right now and worker, I have to stay in top form in order to show up for my family. And that is my priority right now. And I know there's a lot of you in a similar position. And it's like, don't overlook those things. If something is making you feel bad or if something is making you feel good, walk towards the light, you know, do more of the thing that makes you feel good. And I'm going to come to that in a minute about productivity and this really great tidbit I heard in this article I was reading. It's kind of amazing. But yeah, the physical side of this has been very interesting to experience and just pay attention to. It would be a bit ignorant or naive to not mention the financial pressures that a lot of us are feeling at the moment. This kind of makes me angry, this part of it, because, you know, here we are. My partner has worked his entire life to build a career, and overnight, it's like the career is gone and the dream is gone, and he's not alone. I mean, there's businesses that have been shut down. It is so devastating how many people have been directly impacted by this. And it hurts, and I'm angry, and I'm frustrated, and there does not seem to be an end in sight. And I think it's okay to feel whatever the heck you want to feel about that right now. You know, you were working on your dreams, you were filling up your savings account, you were doing all these amazing things, and all of a sudden, I'm talking to people, and it's not completely unheard of to hear things like, well, if this happens and if this person loses their job, we may have to sell our house. Like, You know how stressful that is to think about? First of all, moving is incredibly stressful. Job loss, incredibly stressful. And then the death of a loved one, which is happening to so many people, incredibly stressful. And this is happening at a ridiculous amount. And it's like, no wonder we're all feeling these physical symptoms and we're angry and we're frustrated. But the financial impact is, honestly, it's horrific. And then, of course, you know, there's creators who are not impacted. And I say creators because, you know, normally you don't have as much insight into a person's life as you do with people who are public about their lives, right? We're not always seeing into our friends' houses and things. But, you know, if you have creators sharing parts of their life, and it just seems like, wow, what planet are they on that they're not impacted by this? Like, lucky them. But I'm not in a mental state to feel lucky them. I'm just upset that our life is so impacted by it. And also, I'm okay with being upset about it right now. It won't be like this forever. And in the meantime, what can we do about that, right? It's like you mute people for a time being, you know? I just don't want all that in my space right now. I'm trying to get to tomorrow. I'm trying to think about how to entertain my kids for the remainder of the summer. Like, my headspace is very different than other people. Obviously, we're not all in the same boat. But if you're feeling those things, again, I want you to know you are not alone. Some of it lacks a little bit of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Taste or tact, maybe is the right word. It's like you can't be tone deaf to what's happening. You also can't stop your life because of what's happening. And if you're in a great place, I mean, my goodness, how fortunate you are. But I think you need to toe the line a little bit about what is gratitude, what is boasting, and, you know, and where's that middle ground? So, financials. That's a tricky one. That is a tricky one. I guess the other tricky one is how people are navigating family and friends and those relationships at the moment. I feel like I'm kind of in a unique situation where most, like, my family doesn't live close to me. So my dad is the closest one, and he's about an hour and a bit away. Everybody else lives far away. So it's not like pre-pandemic, I was seeing everybody all the time. We would plan like once or twice a year, we'd all get together, and it was awesome. So I'm not, you know, having video and FaceTime calls is great. Something that's kind of awesome is my sister and I got super tight during the pandemic. Like, we talked a bunch because she was working at home for a little bit. So we would talk like a few times a week. I mean, that's probably been one of the most exciting parts for me personally in terms of my relationship with some family members. But the other side of it is we're kind of all doing our own thing. We worked hard to connect, you know, through video at the beginning, but then it just gets to be like, it's just kind of depressing is how I feel about it. I can't wait for the celebration at the end when we can see everyone. But for now, it's just like, oh, I find it a bit depressing. Kind of like the feeling I have. So when I see people in real life, I've had a few get-togethers, like social distance style get-togethers. And when I do, it's like there's this huge letdown at the end because you're faced with this reality of how you're just faced with the reality of what's happening right now. And I should speak for myself. And I seem to cope better when I live in a little bubble with things I can control in a time and space where everything seems out of control. But then when I met with meeting people in my group friend settings, it's enjoyable. Don't get me wrong. I really enjoy seeing everyone, but there is this weird feeling afterwards where I'm like, oh my God, this is honestly horrible. Cause it's like you're exposed now to not only what your kids are feeling or how your, you know, spouse is feeling and how you're feeling and how this is impacting you. You're now hearing stories about your friends and their spouses and their kids and the symptoms of all of this. It's very real and it's very heavy. So, you know, I'm kind of right now, like, I'm lone wolfing it and I'm okay with it. Like, I work out with my music on. I've taken up running as a goal just to kind of still be goal focused, and it's a challenge that I feel really good about. I'm into walking my dog by myself. You know, I have my dad pop by every now and then, and we visit with our neighbors, and like that seems to be okay right now. It's not great. I'm not 100%, but I'm managing and dealing with what I can handle right now, you know? And sometimes I call certain family members and sometimes I don't, because I just do not have the bandwidth to handle it. That's the reality of it. And it might hurt people's feelings, but right now, coming back to like what I was saying before, I am the primary earner for my family, and my priority right now is maintaining as much stability for the unit that I care for in my home, and the rest will fall by the wayside. And that's what happens when shit gets real. Can I get an amen? These are weird times, and you gotta focus on what's important right now. No, I want to end it on a nice positive note. I, again, was, you know, rumbling around on the internet trying to find what people are interested in and what they're talking about in terms of the pressures and some of the expectations we have placed on ourselves during this time. And there was this great article on City News, actually, where they interviewed a professor of psychology from University of Toronto, and his name is Steve Jordans. And he had some really interesting points about productivity. So the article was, I believe it was in June, and they were talking about this pressure to be productive during these times. You can't see me, but my hand's in the air. I'm like, yeah, I feel it. Why? Why are we feeling so much pressure to be like the most productive humans ever? Like, I took a day off the other day. And okay, let's be honest, if you guys follow me long enough, like I struggle with downtime. Which makes me laugh because I'm like a professional TV watcher when it needs to be happening. But I struggle with that lately. Like as I get older, it's harder and harder for me to chill out. I'm such a doer. So I have to make a conscious decision. Like I will not work out and I will not work and I'm going to chill and I'm going to do 1, 2, 3 things, whatever those 3 things are, whatever. And I have to like remind myself periodically throughout the day, you're still having a chill day, like do a puzzle, you know? I'm working on it. We're all flawed, right? Flawed human being. But here's what he was saying. So, and I'm going to paraphrase, obviously, but you know, in the article, it was like, this isn't a staycation, first point. You know, we're not at home because we want to be here. There are some moments that it's awesome, and there's a whole lot of moments where it's not. And he was explaining that, you know, in these times, we're in this strange, you know, fight or flee system is happening right now. So all of this stress, all of this unknown, all of this uncertainty has put us in this moment where we're ready to fight or flee the situation. So we are feeling this strong urge to do something. So he called it like the do something system. I was like, I'm on board, keep talking. And essentially to try and get some relief from the system that we're in, which is like this do something, quick, fight, flee, figure something out. We feel compelled to actually stop and do something to get some relief. And he was saying it's not a bad thing to find relief in things. But he did have some pretty, simple but seemingly effective ways to work with this stress that we're all seeming to be feeling. And the first one was, you know, set one goal a day, something that's attainable that you can complete. That's going to look different for you, for me, for whomever. Lately, for me, it's been to work out or to rest. And the resting one is honestly the harder of the two. Like I get so much joy out of working out and pushing myself to my physical limits that it's hard for me to not push myself. But I'm really enjoying working out and I don't want to hurt myself. So I have to, you know, I have to stop and rest my body every now and then. So set a goal. Lately, I've been making my bed. I mean, I always make my bed, but like really making a point to make my bed, to get ready for the day, to tidy up the kids' rooms, daily. They're mostly good at doing it themselves. Well, Esme is great at doing it herself. Jack doesn't really make a mess, so it doesn't matter. But like this week, I did a load of laundry midweek and I am shooketh that I actually got that done. It's just like one of those things where I dread sometimes a Saturday because Saturdays and Sundays are my chance to catch up on house chores. And now I'm like, oh my God, I just freed up like an hour of time because I already did half the laundry, right? It's amazing. So I might only have one load to do on the weekend, which is kind of awesome. So I love that, setting one goal and completing it, right? And he was saying like this concept of productivity is, you know, use it as a stress buster, not a stress creator. And I was like, let me read that again. I like that line. So if you're going to create yourself a goal, if you're going to do something because you're in this fight or flee system and your body needs to like do something, use it to bust your stress. Like don't add things to your plate that you think or you aren't able to actually achieve because it's going to create more stress. So, you know, like a healthy distraction, and distractions don't always have to be negative. So what is it that you enjoy doing? And he's like, move towards enjoyment and feeling joy from the things that you like to do. And I feel as I get older, I've been saying this to Dean a lot lately too, aside from me feeling like I'm losing everything because my brain stress is weird and it's showing up for me that I'm misplacing things. Like that's completely out of character for me. I don't lose things. So I'm joking that I'm getting older, which I probably am. Well, of course I am, but I can't be losing things already. I'm only 36 years old anyway. But the point is I sometimes feel like deep in my core, like this feels good and I know I'm right about it. So I talk to you guys a lot online about find things that make you happy. If you love to walk your dogs, if you love to just walk, if you love to read, if you love to jump on a trampoline, if you like to ride your bike, whatever the heck it is, yoga, boxing, you know, anything, if you get enjoyment from it, do more of it. You know, like I don't love HIIT workouts. If something is labeled a HIIT workout, I don't want to do it. And if that's the only workout that I tried to do, I would hate working out. But I love kettlebells. So I do a ton of kettlebell workouts and I love it. I've got calluses on my hands, makes me proud. You know, like I'm taking up running. I enjoy running. Well, I enjoy the feeling after I run. So I'm doing more of it. But he basically says just that, like, if you are feeling enjoyment from it, do more of it. Like the process should bring you joy and you shouldn't be feeling bad about it. So, you know, it doesn't always have to be a workout. For example, it can be reading. If you get a lot of joy out of reading, I personally get a lot of joy out of listening to a podcast. You know, he was saying, don't feel bad about needing an escape right now. Again, come back to the top about the parenting thing. These are not normal times. Therefore, why should I be expected to be completely normal right now? Right? Another great point that he made was that, you know, when you're in this fight or flee situation, the system, you know, if you're in it for too long, which we have all been in it for too long. And if you're not doing well right now and you know yourself best, what's going to happen is that your immune system can become compromised. And a friend of mine, actually, Jassy from Honor the Temple, I was having a really hard week and she said something to me along those lines of like, you know, your adrenal system is in hyperdrive right now. And I hope I'm saying that properly because I'm not too familiar with all those words. But, and it was that exact thing. Like you've been stressed for too long and your body is starting to have a reaction to it now. So things like foam rolling and rolling out my muscles, I feel that physical touch, you know, getting the knots out of my back, doing gua sha facial massage to drain my lymphatic system. I've got a video on that too if you need more details. But all these little things I think are super important right now. Drinking tons of water, sweating. You know, when I do a workout, I like to sweat as much as possible. Like get out of my body, detox a little bit in that way. All of that is so important. I like to shock my system a bit and like jump in the cold water and go for a swim. These things are important. And it seems so minor, but when you add all the little things up, creating boundaries in some of your relationships to protect your mental health, seeking out movement or activity that actually brings you joy, relaxing on how you choose to parent, just paying attention to your body. What does it need today? Do you need rest? Do you need sweets? Do you need sexy times? Do you need, you know, what is it that you, fresh air, a day curled up under a blanket watching Netflix, and do those things and let the guilt fall to the wayside. And just recognizing that this is a really strange time, and that, you know, financial burdens, the complete unknown of what's coming, is going to impact us both mentally and physically. And there isn't a catch-all solution, right? I wish I had some magic thing that's going to work for everybody that would work every day, because even the things I do practice daily don't always work for me, because our needs change, right? But I think really it's just paying attention to that stuff and finding little tips and tricks that are going to help you through it. And maybe today's message is really just, you are not alone. I am not alone. This is a really hard time, and it is okay to feel super frustrated, because I myself feel super frustrated. And then I also feel okay when I do things that bring me a lot of joy. And it's finding those little moments, right? Like this whole concept of joy and happiness, it's not a flipping permanent state of being, right? It is moments. It's seeking out those moments, and you will have dips of bad moments, but we got to find a way to go into the light as often as we can, you know? So I think that's all I have for today. Hopefully there was some fun messages for you in there. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Feel free to leave a review or a rating on Apple Podcasts, because that's how you get this bad boy into new ears. Let me know how you enjoyed it. Shoot me a message. A DM would be great on Instagram at Amanda Muse. And stay tuned for a brand new episode next week. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.